This is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hola, hello, konnichiwa, and other variations on that in other languages. I am the Celebrity Medium, and I'm here once again to bring you another edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report, the only show on the internet that gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. You know the deal if you've ever heard this before. I get information from my sources, and I pass it along to you, and then we all know stuff we didn't used to know. Have you ever heard of Sylvia Brown? She was a psychic, and I'm making finger quotes there, and also the nemesis of James Randi, who was a skeptic and challenger of psychic claims. Sylvia used to turn up on the Montel Williams show a lot and on other talk shows occasionally. And she got herself into a little hot water when she told the family of a girl who had gone missing for a good while that she was dead, and then the girl turned up alive. That's not good psychic prognostication right there, folks. Anyway, Randi really went after her on a number of talk shows and challenged her to prove that she had psychic ability, and if she could, he'd give her $1 million. And she said, this was on Larry King Live, she said she would take the test, and then she proceeded to duck him and never did actually take the test. Well, anyway, Sylvia Brown, who, by the way, have I mentioned that she also got convicted once for embezzling people out of money, supposedly for a gold mine, and it turned out she was just putting it into her own little business dealie, for which she got a $20,000 fine and probation. Did I mention that part? No, I guess I didn't. Anyway, she is currently in the news in the next world. I give her credit for creativity. She's kind of flipped the script on her old act. You know, when she was on the earthly plane, she channeled people who were in the next world. Now that she's in the next world, she's channeling people who are on the earthly plane, okay? Now, the way that works is people who are in the afterlife generally know about big events. They certainly know who the President of the United States is. I'm sure they know about the hurricanes and so forth. They know that stuff. But they don't necessarily know a lot of details about their loved ones. So that's the act she's working these days. She sits down and she tells them what is supposedly happening with their loved ones. Now, you got to ask yourself why she's doing it, because there's no monetary system in the next world, so she can't make a living from it, but she's getting a lot of publicity, and maybe that's enough to feed her ego, and she's happy with that. She's getting written up a lot in the newspapers. She's turning up on talk shows just like she did in our existence, and that's her new bit now. Fred Trump, father of the American president Donald Trump, has been having rallies in support of his son, along with his good buddy and Nazi sympathizer Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic. They are still having the rallies. They have been and continue to be contentious because there are counter-protests outside of every venue that they have a rally in. And the counter-protests are being led by Martin Luther King and his BFF Adolf Hitler. Yes, I said Adolf Hitler is best friends with Martin Luther King Jr. That's a long story. It's all in the archives of our previous shows. Go back and listen to it. You'll get the entire story arc. They are showing no signs of stopping the counter-protests, rejecting what they call the hate speech coming from Trump and Buddy Lindbergh. So, I guess nobody's going to toss in the towel on this one. Oh, by the way, Hitler has changed his look. The little mustache thing, that's gone. And he's got a haircut, he got a crew cut. He's keeping the name because he says he doesn't want to hide what he did on the earthly plane. You know, so he doesn't want to be, Bill Gibbons or something. You know what I mean? He wants to continue to call himself Adolf Hitler so that people know who he is and what he did but he wanted to make it clear that he isn't that person anymore, so he has changed his look. So, I don't know, is that a fashion statement or just a renunciation of fascism? Whatever, I just knows what I knows, and I tells you what I knows. Donald Fagen and Steely Dan just transitioned to the next world. He was the co-founder of Steely Dan with his friend Walter Becker. They did that in 1970. Steely Dan put out a total of 8 albums. You know, as big as they were, and as popular as they were, and as much acclaim as they got, you would have think they'd done a lot more than 8 albums, but apparently 8 albums was it. I counted. And he did several solo albums after Steely Dan broke up. I had an arrival ceremony. It was a nice crowd, not a huge crowd, I am told. Because he really, you know, I mean, people knew that he was in Steely Dan, but Steely Dan was the name on the marquee, not Donald Fagen. So we had a nice ceremony among people who, you know that he was half of Steely Dan. And immediately after that, he was approached by representatives from several different bands who all wanted him to join them, including the real legends, represented by Jim Morrison. Okay, that's weird. Because since the last time we heard from Morrison, and I checked the archives, it was back in February, he was sporting dreadlocks after he turned the Real Legends into a hardcore rap group. That's another one of these ongoing stories that you should go into our archives and check out, because it's a crazy tale. Poor Jim was just losing showbiz job after showbiz job. He was just having problems, mostly of his own making. The guy's a self-sabotager, or self-saboteur? Yeah. Anyway, what does it mean? I mean, this is more turned into a story about Morrison and the Real Legends, from my point of view, than about Fagen, because according to my contacts, Fagen very politely turned everybody down, at least for the time being. He said he wanted to settle in to his new existence and get his bearings before he made any career decisions. Perfectly understandable. But now I'm wondering what the hell is going on with Morrison. He's still got the dreadlocks. So are the Real Legends still a hardcore rap group? Because, I mean, they were just about starting riots at some of their shows, last I heard. Has he given up on that? Because it doesn't make any sense to have Donald Fagen in a rap group. Because Fagen has no back... I don't know. That's the bottom line is, I don't know. All right. Lastly, the rumor is that Stanley Kubrick has gone into post-production on Obsessive Behavior, the movie that he took control away from, there you go, Jean-Michel Basquiat and Salvador Dali. It was their movie. They got way in over their heads. They brought in Kubrick to bail them out. Kubrick said, I'll do it only if you give me 100% complete creative control over every aspect of the production. They did so, and then proceeded to be royal pains in the ass to Kubrick, so he had them banished from the set. So they have been outside with supporters making trouble and making noise, trying to disrupt the filming. Well, apparently he was able to do at least the principal photography. He finished it inside iVironment, the giant Blimhanger-sized building that is usually a rain attraction. You go there to enjoy a rainy day because it doesn't rain in the afterlife. Word I've gotten is that the sets are being taken down, so he's going into post-production. And if it's anything like the process usually is on the earthly plane, that will be in a totally separate facility. That will not be done inside iVironment. But here's the deal. Basquiat and Dali seem not to know about that it's kind of over with. So they're sort of still picketing and protesting outside. And I guess Kubrick is having the crew just take pieces of the set out one at a time out the back door, the other side of the building. So they're just out there yelling for nothing. Now, there's an unconfirmed rumor that the movie, which is about people with obsessive behaviors, go figure, has been expanded to include a new subplot that kind of parallels Basquiat and Kubrick's actions after Kubrick got control of the project away from them. Like he added a whole new subplot to the thing that sort of, I guess is kind of making fun of Basquiat and Dali. It's Kubrick. That means he's obsessive about every detail. If he makes something up and puts it in, he's going to work it in. We won't know much about it until it finally hits theaters and I get some word and I'll be able to tell you about it. All right, I'm done. That's it for me. That is the Celebrity After Life Report for this week. I'll be back next week, barring any unforeseen circumstances, with the latest about all your favorite deceased celebrities. As always, you can find the report on iTunes. You can find the report in the Google Play Store. And, YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. And you can also find it at 1 o'clock every Monday afternoon on our Los Angeles radio affiliate, K-Chung AM 1630 on, Inspirato Radio? Am I getting this right? It's something, you know, I'm just drawing a blank here. This is what happens when you get old. 1 o'clock, K-Chung Radio, AM 1630 in Los Angeles. I am the Celebrity Medium. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-369-3732.